Hey, before you put your songbook up, I want you to open it back up to page 328, would you? That's where you just were, okay? Page 328. I want you to notice the words. I think we're guilty oftentimes of singing without paying attention to what we're saying. Would you notice the words of the first verse? Come thy fount of every blessing. Notice the next phrase. Tune my heart to sing thy grace. All right. You can close your book now, but just stay with me. Any piano players here? Any piano players? Any guitar players? You play the guitar? Anybody play the guitar? We got the worst group of untalented people I've ever stood in front of. Anybody play the radio? All right, never mind. Okay, there you go. All right, in the old days, you had to do this to a radio. Now you have to do it to a piano. You have to do it to a guitar. You have to tune them. Remember, and those of you that are old enough to remember when you had a dial on your radio, and there wasn't buttons, and you twisted the dial, and they said, "Tune it into this station," right? And you'd tune it, and you'd put go a little bit too far, and then you have to come back a little bit, right? Y'all remember those days, all right? Now some of you don't remember them because you weren't born then, all right? But the rest of us, we remember maybe tuning that radio. You had to tune it so the sound was better, okay? You tuned it so the sound was better, all right? You tune a piano. From time to time, we have to tune the piano, all right? We have to do it, all right? So we need to do that. And we have to tune the piano, and it needs that so it'll sound good. If you play a guitar, you have to tune it every time you pick the stupid thing up, all right? Because they get out of tune real easy, all right? Real easy, they get out of tune. I just want to remind you of that. Your heart needs to be tuned.
Amen.
Your heart needs to be tuned. Hey, could I say this to you? That's what we're fixing to do.
Amen. Yes, sir.
That's what we're fixing to do. You say, why do we have that preaching? Help tune your heart.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Help tune your heart. Why, preacher, why don't you tell us we need to read the Bible? Read the Bible so you can tune your heart.
That's right.
Tune your heart. It needs to be tuned. It gets out of tune easy. Very easily. Take your Bible with me this morning, the book of Jonah, Jonah chapter 1. I got a text from my son. He said, Brother Reed, this is Brother Reed, Rick Reed, who pastors down around Temple, Texas. His daughter, Anna, had open heart surgery this week with a ruptured aorta. And he heard it went well, but would you pray for her? Brother Rick Reed's a good man of God. For years we supported him. He was missionary representative for the Victory Baptist Press, and just a good man, good friend. He's such a good friend. I haven't talked to him in weeks and years, actually. But hey, he's one of those friends, you know, when you do run into him, you can talk to him, and you pick up your friendship right there. So pray for him and his daughter, Anna, if you would do that, please. All right? All right, you're there in Jonah chapter 1. Very familiar account in the Word of God. Listen, people know of Jonah that had never been in church. Never been in church. Verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And he went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord. Now we're going to stop right there.
Amen.
Okay? We're going to stop reading right there. Before COVID hit the world, cruising was growing strong.
Yes, sir.
Now I don't mean getting in your car and cruising the neighborhood, all right? I mean getting on a ship and taking a cruise. I mean it was going strong. There were more and larger ships entering the trade on a regular basis. There were multiple lines. You could take a Carnival cruise line. There's a Disney cruise line, the Royal Caribbean cruise line. the Viking cruise lines, the Norwegian cruise line. Those are just a few of the ones that offered you, if you would, hey, the trip of a lifetime. You could pay, you know, and do that. And cruising really has become a great way to get away from it all with a bunch of people that you don't know and might not like. I'm not really sure I understand cruising completely, but that's kind of my take on it. You get on a ship jammed full of a bunch of other people that you may not like, and they may not like you, but and that's okay. You pay well for a tiny little room.
Yes, sir. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
For a tiny little room. You say, well, you're not supposed to spend your time in the room. Okay, fine. You spend your time out there on the ship around a bunch of people you don't know. And that who knows if they'll like you. But that's just my take. If you want to take a cruise, take off, all right? But most of those cruises offer what they call all-inclusive packages. I mean, that is basically you pay, and what you pay covers it all. Covers it all. 3 meals a day, 4 meals a day if you want it, all right? You can sort of graze all day long, if the way I understand it. That's probably a good reason for me not to take a cruise. But, they're advertised that way. Everything's included, maybe entertainment on the ship, all that kind of thing. Now, you might not think of it this way, but Jonah had one thing in common with everybody who takes a cruise on a ship today. All right? He... Notice what it says, almost kind of in the middle of verse 3. The Bible said he paid the fare. He paid the fare. He paid the fare. I want to speak to you today on the subject of if you board the ship, you'll pay for the trip. If you board the ship, you'll pay for the trip. You said, preacher, where are you going with that? Well, stay with me. You'll get it figured out, all right? First of all, I want you to notice this. Jonah had a clear command from God.
Right. Amen.
Clear. It was clear. Look at verse 1 and verse 2. Notice the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Jonah heard that. Notice it was the word of the Lord. It was the word of the Lord that came to Jonah. Jonah didn't get up one morning and get the idea, you know, he was listening to WBAP or KRLD on the radio, or he tuned in the news on the television that day, or he read the newspaper, or he was cruising the internet, and he got the idea, you know, I think I'll go to Nineveh, or I think they want me to go to Nineveh. It didn't come that way. God spoke to him. God spoke to him. And listen to me, Jonah knew it. Jonah knew it. There was no doubt about it. He knew it was God. Knew it was God. He said, well, I'm not sure. All right, go to verse 9 in this same chapter. He said, that's Jonah talking to the fellows on the ship, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. And then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men, listen close, the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he, that's Jonah, had told them.
That's right. Yes, sir.
So I just want you to know, I don't want you to doubt for a moment, Jonah knew God spoke to him.
Yes, sir.
Jonah knew exactly what God wanted him to do. Come on, you can read verse 2 and you don't go, I wonder what he was talking about there. It's the King James Bible. It's 400 years old. It's outdated. I've heard all that garbage. But you can read it. You can understand it.
Yes, sir.
We have a problem. And Jonah didn't have a problem understanding it either. Jonah knew exactly what God had said. He knew God had said it. No doubt about it. He had a clear command from God. Now, my friend, I want to tell you, of the same God that spoke to Jonah has spoken to you and me.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Spoken to you and me. Now, he's spoken to you and me in a different way than he did Jonah. He speaks to us right here.
Amen.
Right here. If you're saved, he speaks to you. The Holy Spirit that lives in you,
yes,
deals with you and God deals with your life. And now, I don't believe anybody here has been called to Nineveh, okay? I'm not looking at anybody that I think, hey, bud, you're going to get in trouble. Isidro, you better get to Nineveh, you know. No, God hadn't called Brother Isidro to go to Nineveh. God hadn't called Brother Dunbar. And called me, hadn't called you to go to Nineveh. All right? But we've all been commanded to follow the Lord and follow the Word of God. Let me just give you a couple of verses. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21, the Bible said, "This is the way, walk ye in it." This is the way, walk ye in it. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16, "Ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein." Now, the truth of the matter is, I could take up the next half hour easily going through one verse after another like that, where God is saying to you and me, He commands us. You said, those are Old Testament. Okay, I'll give you New Testament. The Lord says, follow me, and I'll make you to become fishers of men. Follow me. Follow me. Hey, there's a lot of them. There's a lot of them there, okay? God's commanded us. God's commanded us. And He speaks to our hearts today. You with me? Speaks to our heart today. And He's given us a clear command. He wants us to live. He wants us to walk. He wants us to serve Him in specific ways. There's a way for us to live. There's a way for us to walk. There's a way we are to serve our God. We can't deny it. Well, you can deny it, but it's obviously in the Word of God, all right? And you and I must never get the idea that we can disobey God and figure, it's okay, it'll all work out all right. It won't. Won't. Jonah had a clear command from God. Second thing I want you to see, all right? Jonah took obvious steps away from the Lord. Look there at verse 3, all right? It says, he went to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Hey, it was obvious steps. Obvious steps. Jonah on purpose. On purpose. He knew what he was doing. He told others, we already read there in verse 10, he told them that he had gone. He had fled from the presence of the Lord. There's no denying that what he did was really directly opposite from what God wanted him to do and what God had directed him to do. He took his steps. He went away from God, just 180 degrees opposite from what God said to do. All right? Totally opposite from what the Lord said for him to do. Now, there's a problem there. David made this statement in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 20 and verse 3. He said, there is but a step between me and death. David understood something that I'm afraid a lot of God's people today don't understand. He understood how much difference just one step can make. Just one step can make. The other night, we had some of the family over at our house, and we were out on the patio, and kids were out playing in the yard the other evening, and my daughter-in-law was walking across, and all of a sudden, I thought she had just twisted her foot and fell. But I realized, and she had stepped in a hole that I didn't know was there. Nobody knew it was there. Nobody knew it was there. Hey, there was grass over it. I'd mowed the grass just the day before. Hadn't seen a hole. The hole wasn't there. And there was grass over it, but she just stepped perfectly right on it. And man, all the way up to her knee, she went in that hole. Thank God she didn't break it, you know. I'm glad it wasn't me, it wasn't my wife. We'd have probably broke our leg, all right? But she didn't do it. But it was just that one little step. Just that one little step. Put her foot in the wrong place. In the wrong place. Can I say this to you, my friend? When you step away from the known will of God, you're opening yourself up to paying a tremendous price. Tremendous price. Hebrews chapter 10. Would you turn there with me, all right? Hebrews chapter 10. You didn't act like you believed me there when I said that, so we're going to have to look at the Bible, okay? Hebrews chapter 10, if you would. Look at verse 26. Verse 26. The Bible says, for if we sin willfully. You see that? For if we sin. Notice that word, willfully. Hey, that's on purpose. That's on purpose. That's, I know what I'm doing. I'm doing it on purpose. If we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. Did you get that? If you sin willfully, you know what you're doing. You go into it. You do what Jonah did. Jonah said, I ain't going. God said, I want you to go to Nineveh, cry against it. Jonah said, nope, not going. Going the other direction. Went down, paid the fare, and tried to go from the presence of the Lord. He went the opposite way. Hey, I want to tell you this. Willful sin carries a price. Carries a price. You can't do it. You can't do it. I've already said, if you think, well, I can do it and then just figure everything will be okay, you're sadly mistaken. I don't care who you are. I don't care how long you've been saved. I don't care how good of a Christian. I don't care how much credit you think you've built up, okay? If you sin against God that way, you're going to pay a price. Willful sin cannot be explained away as a mistake. Well, I just made a mistake. No. You did it on purpose. You did it on purpose. You know, if a kid's sitting, you know, piddling around in his desk with a pencil, you know, and everything, and he's a fool, he can accidentally flip something across the room. That can happen accidentally. But when he takes a pen, okay, when he takes a pen, takes it apart, and uses the barrel of the pen, and takes a little piece of paper and chews it up a little bit and stuffs it in there and then goes and hits the kid on the other side of the room, he cannot say, that was an accident.
No.
He can't say, I just made a mistake.
No.
Oh, you did that on purpose.
Amen.
No, I don't know how that thing got in my hand. All of a sudden, I just realized I had exhaled and, what's this pen doing in my hand? No, don't start that story with me, all right? Hey, you hear me? That's the way God's people oftentimes try to act when they get caught. But if you sin willfully, you sin willfully. The Bible said you just look for judgment. You look for judgment. So I want you to see it. God had spoke. Jonah had a definite word from God. You and I have a definite word from God about how we're to live, what we're to do, how we're to serve Him. All right? He made a conscious decision on purpose. He decided and took obvious steps away from the will of God. You're doing that? You're doing that today? Hey, I want to tell you, Jonah wasn't by himself. Go back to Jonah chapter 1. I want you to look with me at verse 3. He wasn't by himself. No, just look, it's kind of interesting when you see what the scripture said. It said in the middle of the verse, he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them. To go with them. There was some other folks going. Now, I don't know how big the crowd was. I don't know how big a ship it was. May not have been a real big crowd, but it was a crowd. There were some other folks that were going. Hey, these people weren't godly individuals determined to serve God. They were not there and got together and said, well, we're on our way to Tarshish to do a great work for God. No, that wasn't what was going on. They were simply living out their own lives, doing their own thing. Oh, boy, does that sound familiar? Doing their own thing. That was the crowd Jonah joined. Jonah went and joined himself with that crowd doing their own thing. Hey, every child of God, every child of God that thinks he can step away from the presence of the Lord needs to consider what crowd that's going to put you in. You need to stop and think, what crowd is that going to put you in? You're going to be in that crowd that's doing their own thing. You say, well, that's what I want to do. I'm going to do my own thing. Wait a minute. Now, you won't be by yourself. If you decide to depart from the will of God, you decide to depart from the way that God wants you to go, from the way God would have you to live, you will have plenty of company. There will be a huge crowd to welcome you with open arms and say, come on, man, let's live it up. Let's have a good time. Let's do our own thing. Hey, you forget about what your parents have said to you. You forget about what that preacher has preached to you. Everybody, hey, they just don't want you to have a good time, and you just go ahead and do your own thing, all right? Hey, there's plenty of other people out there doing that. There's a crowd. You will not be by yourself. But I got a question. Is that the crowd you want to raise your family in? Is that the crowd you want to raise your family in? Is that the people you want to have as your best friends? Crowd doesn't care a thing about what God says. Crowd that has no concern for the will of God and the way of God. I don't mean, hey, wait a minute, I want to say this. It doesn't mean they don't go to church. But church is just something you do on Sunday. It doesn't affect Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Hey, it's just a formality. I'm just kind of putting in my bit for God. I go to church and I just show up and I do a religious thing. There's a lot of people, folks, there's a lot of people in the world that's what they're doing when they go to church. I'm just doing the religious thing here a little bit, all right? Hey, let me ask you another question. Is that the crowd you want to be? Is that where you want to be found when the Lord comes back? Is that where you want to be found when the Lord comes back? You want to be found among the crowd? Hey, we're just doing our own thing, man. We're just doing our own thing. You see, I think you need to consider these things. I think we need to stop and consider what's it going to be. You with me? First of all, Jonah had a clear command from God. You and I have a clear command from God. No doubt. Have a clear command from God. Jonah decided, I'm leaving. I'm going away from what God wants. Made a conscious, willful decision. He wasn't by himself. Wasn't by himself. He was in that crowd doing their own thing. All right? But lastly, now don't get excited. This will be the longest point, okay? The last point, but it will be the longest point. Lastly, I want you to see this. The cost was more than Jonah ever thought it would be. Look, if you would, there in verse 3, it said he paid the fare. He paid the fare, but you know what? It was just a down payment. It was just the down payment. He paid the fare, all right? But I want you to notice. Would you notice the first two words of verse 3 and the first two words of verse 4? Verse 3, it's, but Jonah. Verse 4, it's, but God. I believe Jonah thought he could disobey God and get away with it. But Jonah, for God, God could butt in also. God could step in. He forgot about that. It didn't occur to him that, I'll do what I want, I'll go my way, and the Lord's just going to have to live with it. He's just simply going to have to accept it because I'm a free moral agent. I've got my rights. Yeah, but the Lord was fixing to throw him a left, okay? He was about to find out. He's going to pay a price he had never dreamed. I wonder, did he somehow forget the importance of God and the expectation that God had for him? Did he somehow forget, wait a minute, it's not just another man we're talking about, this is God. I'm not just disobeying what my wife said to do. I'm not just disregarding what my boss said to do. I'm not just regarding what my neighbor said to do, but I'm disregarding what God said to do. Amen. And I've made a trip, you know, and I'm got on this ship, and he's fixing to pay for that trip, buddy. He was fixing to pay for that trip. Now, you're sitting there. I believe every one of us here know what happened. We talked about verse 9 and verse 10. Man, there was a huge storm. That's what verse 4 says. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. The Lord sent a great wind. Man, they came up a storm like those sailors had never seen. It was a tough one. It was so bad that they got religious. In verse 7, they said, let's cast lots, find out what's going on. They cast lots, and it was Jonah. They came to Jonah and said, Jonah, what's the deal? Jonah said, well, you know, I ran from the presence of the Lord. And even those guys said, what? You know, I love, though, what he said in verse 9. He said, I fear the Lord. Really? Really? I fear the Lord. You fear the Lord, but you did that? Say, I'm going to tell you something. I had a fear of my dad. I had a fear of my dad. Now, I love my dad. My dad loved me, but I had a fear of him. And there were some things, buddy, I wouldn't do because I feared dad. And I wouldn't have done something, you know. I wouldn't have, I'll just pick something wild. I wouldn't have gone into a 7-Eleven and picked up a candy bar and walked out with it without paying. And you said, well, the cops will get you. I'm not worried about the cops. I'm worried about dad, because the cops might get me, but I know eventually dad was going to get called. And I would have rather said to the police, could you just throw me in jail, don't call him. I feared dad. I feared the Lord. And because I feared dad, it kept me straight. It kept me straight as a kid. Now, listen, all of you dads out here, let me say this to you. It's not part of the sermon. It's just extra, but there will be no extra charge. You've got kids. If you're the kind of dad you ought to be, hear me. If you're the kind of dad you ought to be, your kids will grow up to fear the Lord. They will transfer that respect and fear for you to God. God. Now, I never feared my dad was going to do something because he was just a nut. I never feared dad was going to come home drunk and beat us all up. I never feared those kind of things, but I feared disobeying my dad. And you know what? As I grew older, that fear transferred from my dad to my God. Man, I'm going to tell you something. You're a good dad. You'll help your kids fear God. You'll help your kids grow up to fear God. Just being a good dad. But Jonah had the gall to say, I'm an Hebrew and I fear the Lord. That's why I didn't do what he said. Now, I kind of wonder about that statement, all right? But those men said, man, why have you done this? They had more sense than Jonah did. Why have you done this? Jonah finally just said, hey, you know, the only cure for it, just throw me overboard. And they did. Oh, Jonah was fixing to find out. He paid the fare, but now he's fixing to pay for the trip, okay? He's fixing to pay for the trip. And you know how the Lord had prepared a great fish. I don't believe, I'm going to be honest with you, I don't believe Jonah went into the water and swam up to the surface and beat noob. I believe that great fish, that whale, was sitting there with his mouth open and his flipper up, calling for a fair catch. Old Jonah's thrown out of the ship. He was down. Jonah found out there's a cost. And it costs more than he thought. It costs more than he thought. Now, could I draw this to you and me today? You're not commanded to go to Nineveh. But God's told you how to live. God's told you how to walk the Christian walk. God's told you how to serve and what you ought to do for Him. He's told you that. Now, there may be some of you sitting here, you've already deviated. Maybe there's somebody sitting here and you're planning to, you're thinking about it. Hey, do you remember this fact? Do you remember that God gave His Son to pay your sin debt? Do you remember that? He died a cruel death. He died a very cruel death. He shed His blood to give me and you eternal life. Okay? He shed His blood to pay our sin debt. The Bible said we're bought with a price. And we are. And then it says this, we're to glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. That's 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20. You're bought with a price. You're to glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Hey, it's right that He expects you to obey Him. Amen. That's right. He expects you to do it. And I'm going to tell you something. If you decide like Jonah, I fear the Lord, but I'm leaving His presence. I'm going my own way, and I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to tell you this. You're going to pay more for that trip than you ever thought you would. You're going to pay more than you ever thought. Jonah paid the fare. Jonah paid the fare. Yep, he paid for it. Man, he spent 3 days, 3 nights in the belly of a whale. If you think that was fun, you got another thing coming. By the way, he didn't know how long he was going to be there. Now, we know 3 days and three nights. But he didn't know that. He paid the fare. Let me just talk about some other folks in the Bible, just give you an example. The Bible said the Old Testament was written for our example, right? Our example. There's a guy in the Bible by the name of Samson. Guy in the Bible named Samson, God called him and said, you're going to be a judge. You're going to judge my people. God gave him great power. He gave him great ability. Samson said, going to do my own thing. Going to do my own thing. So what happened? Well, he lost his sight. Had that taken away from him. He lost his strength. I believe he lost his self-respect. He basically became... did perform the work of a common donkey. That was him. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this. It cost him more than he thought he was going to have to pay. Hey, he got on board the ship. He had to pay for the trip. He did it willfully. Willfully. And he paid. He paid for the trip. Let me give you another fellow. David. David was God's chosen man to be king. God chose him. God told Samuel, Samuel, you go down there and you go to Jesse's house and I'll show you the son that you'll pick and you'll anoint him to be the next king over Israel. And Samuel went down there and he picked everybody except the one God picked. God picked David and he said, there he is, you anoint him. David was anointed king. Man, was he ever a gifted individual. Musically inclined. And he played marvelously well, undoubtedly, on the harp. He could play very well. He was a writer, a composer. He composed the multitudes of the psalms that we have in our Bible. Talented man, I guess we would say, in the arts. But that's not all. He was a talented leader. Militarily, he took the nation of Israel to their heights. Militarily, he led them to one victory after another. Gifted man. God blessed him. God directed him. God told him. But there came a day, David said, I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to do my own thing. And he saw Bathsheba. He took her. He had relations with her. And he thought, I can get away with it. Had to commit murder to cover up his sin. Now, you talk about paying a price. He paid a price. He paid a price in his family. Man, his own son led a rebellion against him. His own son led a rebellion against him. And it was everything. David said, whatever you do, don't kill Absalom. But they did. And Absalom deserved to be killed. I don't tell you, David had trouble the rest of his life because he boarded the ship and he had to pay for that trip. You can't do it. One more. The first king of Israel, Saul. Now, I admit to you, he was the choice of the people. But God said to Saul, I'll bless you if you'll do what I tell you. I'll bless you. He was a mighty man, head and shoulders taller. He looked like a king.
Amen.
And you know, he had that imposing physical presence. Looked like a king. And God blessed him. But there came a time where Saul said, I'll do my own thing.
That's right. Yes, sir.
And God said, fine. I'm going to take that kingdom away from you. I'll take it away from you. Listen, he boarded the ship of his own free will, sinned willfully. He paid for the trip. He paid for the trip. Hey, I got a question for you today. Have you boarded that ship? That ship you were on? Oh, you're here today, but you're just putting in an appearance. You're going to walk out those doors in a little bit. And you're going to say, I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to do my own thing. Hey, Sunday, okay, I'll show up for church. But Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I'm doing my own thing. I'm going to tell you something. You do that, you're going to pay. There's going to be a price extracted. You cannot willfully turn your back on the Word of God, disregard what He says, and get away with it. You can't do it. Hey, maybe you're just thinking about it. You sure you want to pay that fare? You sure you want to pay that fare today? Hey, Jonah, he boarded the ship. And he paid for that trip greatly. Greatly. Now, yes, God used him later. But what a price he paid. What a price he paid. David was a man after God's own heart, but look what a price he paid. What a price he paid. Hey, you sure you want to pay that fare today? You can't. You cannot sin willfully and figure God's not going to do anything about it. Now, maybe you're sitting here saying, I'm okay so far. That's so far. So far. I'm going to tell you this. Jonah was all right for a while. He was all right for a while. He got on board the ship. He went down in the hold, you know, and I don't know what he did. Don't know if he went to sleep, but there he was. He was on board. They were sailing along. They got in a storm, but he wasn't worried about it. He said, these guys are sailors. They know how to take care of it. I'll tell you what, he was okay even in the air after they threw him overboard. You see, I've had people tell me this. I've had people say this to me, preacher, I don't care if God kills me. Now, you may not believe it, but I've had people say that to me. I don't care if God kills me. Well, wait a minute. God doesn't have to kill you. He doesn't have to kill you. He didn't kill David. He didn't kill Saul. After that sin, Saul reigned for years. But he spent the rest of his life knowing God took the kingdom off of him. He spent the rest of his life knowing God's taken his hand off of me. He knew it. He knew it. God doesn't have to kill you. Let me just say it this way. God can make you wish you were dead. And you won't be able to do it. You sure you want to pay that fare? You sure you want to pay that fare? Hey, you don't have to. You can get back in line with God. You can get back in line with God. You can come back. You said, well, I've already taken that step. Well, you can come back. You can step back, okay? You can step back. You don't have to keep going the way you're going. You say, God hadn't judged me yet. Well, then get back.
Amen.
Don't make him have to judge you. Don't make him have to judge you. Heavenly Father, I pray now you'd deal with our hearts today. Help us to see ourselves, dear Lord, as we really are. Lord, help us to be honest with ourselves if we're willfully planning to step away from the Word of God and the command of God. Lord, help us to understand there'll be a price. It'll be a terrible price to pay. Lord, would you deal with us today? Lord, I pray you'd bring folks back to you this morning. Maybe there's somebody here this morning who's never trusted Christ as their Savior. Lord, they stand in danger of hell today. My friend, Lord, help them. Help them to see their need of a Savior. Help them to come. Help them step out during the invitation, walk down to the front, meet me, and say, Preacher, I want to trust Christ. Help that Christian, Lord, who's in danger of stepping away from you, to get right with you today. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.